Amen. We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are blessed to be on the time side of life. We hope, trust, and pray that you are in the mindset to worship God. For God is worthy of our praise. And we are thankful to God that he has allowed us to wake up this morning. There were some all over this land, all over this youth Sunday. And we are happy that this time has come. We are the Fifth Ward Church of Christ has always invested a large amount of time and effort and money into our youth program because we know that that is an important factor in growing the church for the future, not just for the future, but also now. And it's important that at these stages, many of you remember when you were in the youth and your memories and the time that you spent has made you even more grounded than would have been had you not had that experience in the Lord's church. And so we have set aside a day where we can have a lesson designed specifically for them. Now, we're going to receive our portion, but we were speaking to the youth because, and then this particular topic, I believe, has been a factor that has affected our youth throughout the ages. There have been many of us who have come through the youth program, and we wonder why our children are not as faithful as they should when they get to that 18 to 25 year old age. And it's been something that is an age old problem that we're going to deal with this morning. We want first to be thankful to the elders and to the leadership, particularly for the Gary Smith, who is a youth minister himself. Only over the course of time is he not still the youth minister, but he still has a passion for the youth with the Discovery Youth Foundation. They view every year, and he's going with them. He's with them, sweating, talking, getting to know, playing, everything. And so it's something about when you're a youth minister, you're always a youth minister. In our presence is Brother Dennis Murphy. He's going to have to leave today, going to the nursing home today, correct? And so, but he's still a youth minister. He still teaches Bible classes and in Bible Hour. And we thank you, thank him for his service. And he's been an example, along with Brother Gary Smith, for the youth program. And hopefully one day soon, somebody is ready to take my place. I realize at age 40, I can't, not too soon. I'm looking at brothers now. I'm scoping who can take my place. You know, I can get in an accident. I could die any day now. We need to have brothers ready to serve the Lord. Our text this morning is going to come from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse number 12. Hopefully you brought your Bibles. Guys, I'm going to have y'all read a number of scriptures, so have your Bible ready. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse number 12. The Bible reads, "Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you: carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were appointed as guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You are blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." In 1939, Billie Holiday sang her classic song, Strange Fruit. If I was to title this lesson, it would be Strange Fruit. And it was a modern day song of lament. Lamentation is a passionate expression of sorrow or grief or weeping. The song of the lyrics, some of you memorize it, goes, "Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood on the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant south, bulging eyes and twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh, then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is fruit that for crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the trees to drop. Here's a strange and bitter crop. This song was an anthem against the practice of lynching of African Americans in the South. Strange Fruit is a tragic song. In 1999, it was named the Song of the Century by Time magazine. It was written by Abel Meripool, an English teacher from the Bronx in 1937, came across a picture of the lynching of Thomas Shipp and Abram Smith, and it disturbed him and inspired him to write the poem. 2 years later, the song was sang by Billie Holiday. And you can hear, even in her live version, even better than the recording, how she was singing in pain. You can feel her anger. You can feel her sadness in singing the song. And so we're going to go to a lament in the Bible where God is speaking to a man about a problem that has plagued mankind from the beginning. But it started with Satan. It started even in heaven. And this particular king of Tyre has a superiority complex. He thinks highly of himself. He is the king. He believes he's a god king. And normally, when you have a level of success in your life, it goes to your head. He is in the city of Tyre, or it's pronounced Tyre. Is in a land where is an area where all the merchandise is going through that land. And so all of the wares, all of the finances is going through this city. And so it was a wealthy city, a city that had great power. Appreciate it. About to start yelling. All right, I can hear myself. That's good. Okay, so now the king of Tyre is successful in a land where he's the king of finances. And when you are over a land where the finances are well, it goes to your head. So he believes he's a king. In Ezekiel chapter 28, he is addressed. Verse number 2, it says he believes he's a god, or he's going to sit in the place of a god. And in verse number 5, it says, because of thy traffic, because of thy wealth, because of your riches, it has gone to his head. And so now he is being addressed by God, a song of lament, a lamentation, a song of sorrow because of the way that you are. And so God addresses him. But he uses some familiar language. God is reminded of somebody else in speaking to the king of Tyre. So let's look at the text. And the scripture says, son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what was the sovereign Lord says. You are a seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, let me stop right there. The king of Tyre was never in the garden of Eden. So you reminded me of somebody. It says, every precious stone adorn you. Carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, jasper, lapis lazuli, turquoise, beryl. Your settings and mountains were made of gold. So he had all the stones. Beautiful was he, perfect in beauty. And it says, you are the anointed cherub in the King James Version. You are the guardian cherub in the NIV. And so you are a cherub is an angel. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 24, where a cherub was placed at the tree of life to guard every direction so that nobody can get to the tree of life. So you are there, but you are anointed cherub.
And we know that the king of Tyre was not a cherub. So, but he reminds him of somebody. And he says, you are the holy mount of God. That means you were in the presence of the Lord. And so we know the king of Tyre was not in the presence of the Lord. It says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in thee. That word iniquity in the NIV is wickedness. And it means lawlessness. It means something done out of rebellion. It is going to do what you want to do in spite of knowing the rules. And iniquity separates you from God. Iniquity takes you out of the presence of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither the ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquity have separated you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he cannot hear. So iniquity separates you from God. And the iniquity in this particular text was pride. The pride of knowing who you are. God made him perfect. God made him beautiful, but pride crept in, and so iniquity was found in him. Speaking to our Bible school teachers, the kids are innocent right up until fifth grade. After fifth grade, something happened, something changed. Sister Adia Franklin talked to me about it, and something about their mind just changes once they get to the sixth grade. I noticed it too. Preston used to let me ride him to school in elementary, but he won't let me walk him to the bus stop now. Nah, Daddy, no, I don't want no kiss on the cheek. You good. It's something about that they become aware of themselves. And it's a natural progression. But God made them perfect. Another word that we're going to use is there's iniquity, there's sin. What is sin? Sin means to miss the mark. Sin means that I tried to aim, but I missed it. So that the youth can understand, Steph Curry is one of the greatest shooters in the history of the world, but even he misses the mark. And so when you sin, you miss the mark. Another word that's commonly used is transgression. That means to step out of a bound. I remember when we had the lock-in last week. If you step outside the white lines, young people, what happens? You out. If you play in the NFL and you step out of bounds, you have committed a transgression by stepping outside the bounds. That means there's a line that is set and you are stepping outside of it. That is a transgression. So we have iniquity, we have sin, and we have transgressions. All these things are used to identify what sin is. And when you sin, young people, when you sin, when you decide to do what you want to do, in spite of knowing what the word says, what God has said, what your parents have told you to do, you are in error, you are in transgression, you step outside the line. But a lot of times we deal with the fruit instead of the root. What is at the root? Why are children disobeying? What is the reason for the rebellion? The scripture goes on to say in verse number 16, though your widespread trade, you were filled with violence. And you sinned. I drove you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, guardian cherub, from the fiery stones. Your heart was made proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. I want all our girls, all our young girls, if you're 18 and younger, stand up, please. All of our young girls, stand up at this time. Stand up. If 18 and younger, 18 and younger, I'm talking to you. Okay, so now, God is talking to the king of Tyre, but he's speaking to about Satan in particular, Lucifer at the time. He says, you were proud because on account of your beauty. I want to tell you something now, young people. Y'all are some beautiful girls. Look at these girls. These are some beautiful girls. Some beautiful young ladies. You are beautiful. God made you that way. All my girls in the front, I should have had y'all come sit up here. It's too far back. Matter of fact, it's some spaces up here. Y'all come, my whole youth group. Come on, Brincy. Come on, Lois. Come on. I know this. Come on. We humble now. We humble children of God. Y'all come forward. I want y'all to get this. In the back, y'all could be texting. Y'all could be doing a whole bunch of stuff. Come on. Come on. Y'all come down. It's some seats for those young ladies. Y'all are some beautiful sisters. I want y'all to see. Look at Lois. I want y'all to look at Lois's hairstyle. Okay? Lois cut her hair and she's still beautiful. That is beautiful. Look at you, Lois. Okay? Come on, Sister Jessica. Come on down. Yeah, y'all fill in. It's a whole row right here. Appreciate y'all. Y'all come. Yeah, here we go. All right. All right, so now, the scripture says, your heart became proud because of your beauty. Your heart became proud because of your beauty. Now, y'all are come of age. Some of y'all are in the mirror now longer than you ever did when you were 6 years old. You spent more time in the mirror this morning than mama did. And so now you're looking at yourself and you realize, I have a sense of beauty. And I can see that. There's some beautiful sisters that are sitting here. You are beautiful. Okay? But pride comes in and it creeps in there. And it happened to Satan. It has happened to all of us. Now, I used to come and be ready to worship because of the girls in the youth group. That's the reason why I'm here today. I'm in Fifth Ward, back in the day, had the best youth group, best looking sisters in the whole brotherhood. We've been visiting around. And so I was like, Mom, we need to be on time. Okay? So because of the beauty in the youth group, I decided, okay, I can give my life to the Lord. I got to give me one of these sisters here. So now, my young girls, take this time to accept your natural beauty, but realize it is given to you by God. Satan was corrupted because of his beauty. And because of God making him so perfect, because of the way he looked at himself and said, I need to worship myself. And so because of that, now we live in a culture where self-worship is rampant. You can do it on your cell phone with Snapchat, taking selfies all the time. And you take selfies and you don't say, to God be the glory. You're looking at self and like, wow, I'm beautiful. And you don't give any glory to where that beauty came from. It is not the makeup. It is not your hair. It is God who has placed something valuable inside of you that makes you beautiful. And as time goes on, if you go older, now some women, they age beautifully. I love how there's women that have aged beautifully. But don't tie up your beauty based on your youthfulness, okay? Because it fades. Beauty fades all the time. All my young men, stand up. All my young men, stand up. 18 and younger, stand up. Okay? And talking to the king of Tyre, he also says, you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So Lucifer was bright. He was a bright morning star. He was perfect, but he corrupted his wisdom, meaning he lost his mind. Now you got muscles. Tyler used to be smaller than me. Now you got some muscles. Y'all can't see it, but this boy ripped under here, all right? Yeah. These guys, I deal with them all the time. And so, you know, TJ is only 14 years old. TJ, raise your hand. TJ is 14 years old. Boy, still growing up. I want y'all to understand, young men, that he was corrupted. His wisdom was corrupted because of his splendor, because of how bright he was. Some of y'all are smart. Some of y'all got muscles now. You can do things. Some of y'all taller than daddy. You was probably a better ball player than Pops, huh? Look at the waves on his head. Boy, got them waves. And so because of our image, we can get sidetracked and believe that it's us. Pride comes in and it can affect your entire life. And so you go across, you go in life, y'all can sit down now. You can go out through your whole life. And because of your beauty, because of how smart you are, you decide in Bible class, I don't have to listen to this. I got things together. My career is set. I got accepted into college. My parents have money set aside, or I can do a certain number of things. This is not as important as what I'm going to do here physically. But I'm here to tell you what has killed so many of our children over the course of time is pride when it comes to the worst when they're in Bible class. It's pride whenever it comes to listen to their parents. And now you're talking back. Got the nerve to say something every time they tell you to come bring me some water. Where else would you go where you can get free food and you live in the home and you don't have to pay any bills? You got the nerve to get upset. I got to go bring them water. Now, they may call you downstairs and be next to the refrigerator, you know. But they laughing because all of us have had to do it. And you get upset. It goes into your mind and you like, and you go do it anyway. Because you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to realize I am a child. I am a Christian child. And so therefore, because of that, I need to be obedient even when I don't feel like it. Now, the king of Tyre thought of himself so great that he says, I'm a God king. Satan, Lucifer, is in heaven. And he believes, because I'm so beautiful, I want to be like the Most High God. Notice he says he wants to be like. He could not be God. He could not be higher than God because there is no higher than God. Now, sin, the Satan's first sin was pride. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3 and 4, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, speaking to wives, such as elaborate hairstyles or wearing of jewelry or fine clothes, but rather that your inner self, an unfading beauty, a gentle and quiet spirit, which is a great sight in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of God. I want y'all to see that you must, your inner beauty, young ladies and men, but your beauty must come from that gentle and quiet spirit, particularly the ladies. And it's going to be, yes, ma'am. It's going to be, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Even after they've asked you three times in the same day to get them something. I'm talking about particularly parents. Now, that is your testing ground. That's your testing ground. If you can't listen to mom and dad, then you're not going to listen to the police officers. You're not going to listen to the people on your job. And your parents love you. They have your best interest, and they deserve that water. So the next 10 times at least, because it's going to wear out, the next 10 times, you're going to go, yes, mama, is there anything else you would like? But not sarcastically, because that can get you a beat down. You're going to say, yeah, can I get you anything else? And then you go upstairs, and if they call you again, you're going to go down, and you're going to say, yes, ma'am. And you're not going to say anything because you are humble in the sight of the Lord. Okay, so now Satan, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 29, God has made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. The first point is that God made you perfect. God made you beautiful. But God has made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. What you decide to get into is on you. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse number 14 through 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me explain that to you, young people. When you are drawn away to your own lust, a lot of people say, nah, this is just the way I'm born. This is the way I am. But you're drawn away of your own lust. God made man upright, but you have sought out many inventions. Things on Facebook, things on Instagram, websites that we're not supposed to go to. And so you're exposed to things, searching it on your own. So it says, when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When lust have conceived, when you follow after something that you want, you're pregnant. You're pregnant. Lust have conceived. And some of y'all are like, I ain't pregnant, Brother Raj. But when you have decided in your mind that you're going to do what you want to do, you are pregnant with sin. And so only thing is you waiting to give birth, because it says when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. You're going to give birth to sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So some of y'all are pregnant right now, waiting for mama to go out of town, waiting for the next opportunity to commit a sin, and waiting to do things that you know you're not authorized to do, and you're pregnant. When lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And so what you're going to have to do with that pregnancy? In this case, the word abort means to get out of it. I'm not talking about a physical abortion, because I'm talking about spiritual abortion, that you're going to abort that sin that you have decided in your mind that you're going to do and you're going to continue to do. God made you upright, God made you perfect. Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse number 20 through 23, he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For from within, out of the heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, or in the King James Version, pride and folly. All these evil come from inside, and that defiles a man. I want you to understand that it is not mama's fault. It's not daddy's fault. And some of us have had some horrible things, some of our adults, that has happened to us in our childhood, and we want to blame everybody else. But God made man upright. It is us that has sought out many inventions. It is us that has sought out the evil that's in this world. And so sin is a decision. With your parents, you decide to be disobedient. It is not because they have made you angry. Because the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. You have decided to be the way you are. You have decided to not answer them when they call you. You heard them call you. Parents, they heard you call them. They heard you, but they act like they don't hear you because now the pride is sitting. They're angry that you keep calling them. They heard you say finish the homework, but they're angry. They want to do what they want to do. That is because the pride has set in the heart. And at a certain age, you can't beat it out of them. But back in the day, we used to get whoopings. But after a certain age, even at a certain age, I remember mom tried to whip me when I was 15. I said it before. I'll repeat it because this is my life. I only had one. I remember I grabbed the belt once. And I don't even know why I grabbed the belt. I'm thinking in my mind, what am I doing? I grabbed the belt and I yanked it. I said, I didn't do nothing. At that time, I didn't do nothing. She ain't stopped whooping me. Now, if it was a man in the house, he would have beat me down. But it was no man in the house. But I didn't bug mama like that. I loved her. I was respectful as I could. But this time, I didn't particularly do anything wrong. But what I'm saying is, at a certain point, kids are not whoopable. And so, yeah, once you get to that, that's, you know, if you try to do it after today, after a certain point, you know, you missed your window. Now you got to talk to them real hard. You got to take some things. But pride has already set in. And so now you're going to have to use creative ways to get the sin out. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12 through 14. How have you fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will arise, raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zephron. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. What is pride? Pride is the idolatry of self. I am making myself an idol. And you have to be careful because God will bless you so wonderfully that if you're not careful, you'll forget who the blesser is. You look at yourself and be like, whoo, man. Some of y'all do it with an accentuation of the dresses that you wear. Some of the fitted clothes that we wear. We want to accentuate what God has given us. Now, there's nothing wrong with being fine. Okay? I said it. Nothing wrong with that. God made you that way. But you don't have to accentuate it, especially in a worldly way, because the world dresses that way. If we're a peculiar people, we can dress differently. You can still be fine and cover it up. But you can get caught up in yourself. Satan took one look at himself and he said, I must be praised. I must be like the Most High. And God blessed him. He forgot who the source was. And so a lot of times we forget who the source was. God is the source of your good job. God is the source of your income. God is the source of your intellect. God is the source of your home that you live in where there's parents that love you. And they may get on your nerves, but God blessed you with everything that you have. God blessed you with your wife. God blessed you with your husband. God blessed you with everything that you have. And when you forget who the blesser is, you lack the ability to see your own faults and you begin to praise yourself. Now, we're going to look in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 3. Now, Satan was more subtle than any wild animals the Lord hath made. He said to the woman, did God really say you should eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, I may eat fruit. We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God said, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. And we must not touch it unless you die. You will not certainly die, said the serpent to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Here it is again. Satan wants you to be like God. And it causes us to focus. Now, this is what one of Satan's main tactics. God told them they can eat freely of any tree in the garden, but he makes you focus, young people, on what you cannot have. Instead of looking at all these trees I have, he makes you focus on the one thing that you cannot have, and he twists the word of God. And so now we rationalize. We rationalize, and I want you to look at verse number 6. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable to gain wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. The lust of the eye, she saw the fruit was good for food. The lust of the flesh, she saw it was pleasing to the eye. And the lust of the flesh, she saw that it was to make one wise. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are his three main ways that he can get all of us. But it starts with pride. Eve knew the word of God. She knew what she was told, but she decided, I'm going to do what I want to do because this will make me wise. And young people, so many times we decide we know we're not supposed to, but we see an avenue of something that we want to do inside. We've been wanting to do this. Nobody is around. That's why we go crazy when we get to college. Parents are not around. We've been pregnant with sin. We want to do this, but we haven't. We've had so much supervision in Bible class. We're not paying attention. We're on Instagram. We're texting. We're on Facebook because this is not as important to me as it should be. And there's pride that sets in. There's pride that sets in because we focus on everything else except the word of God. Young people, what I want you to say, I want you to say in your mind, God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of my attention. God is worthy of my focus. And Eve knew the word, but Satan comes in and he can't make you do it. But he presents an opportunity for you to defy God every time. He'll make it to where it seems more pleasurable to sin. I want you to not be deceived like Eve was. Eve was deceived. A lot of times, young people, you're deceived because you don't know what the word of God says. You are deceived because you're blinded by the way society is. You want to do what you want to do. Nadab and Abihu, they offered, the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took censers and put fire in them and added incense and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. And they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu offered something that was not authorized. God didn't tell them to do it. But they felt in their mind they wanted to add something. And so pride caused them to be destroyed. Pride so many times have destroyed us. And now in society, they have what is called gay pride. Gay pride. And some of us, our young people or older, I was born this way. But God made you upright. God did not make you a homosexual. God did not make that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? It says, do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. If you decide that you want to partake in this alternate lifestyle, God has said it is sin. And somebody may say, you know, why is he mentioning that? We don't have any homosexual or even kids thinking about homosexuality. You don't know what's going on in the mind of our children, particularly when they play basketball. And that whole world, there's an underworld that is not known for most of us. But they groom them then. They start talking about it then. It's on their minds. And it's everywhere, not just in sports, but it's everywhere. And so you have to have a conversation with your child about what the Word of God and what it says. You are not born that way. You are not born that way. But pride calls you to say, well, you know, it's accepted in society. And now they have what is called pride. It's not even called gay pride anymore. It's just pride. And this pride is throwing a fist in the face of God, defiance, that we're going to live the way we want to live. Pride is destroying our society, even in the church. Pride is not allowed. In talking about the qualifications of an elder, the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6, not a novice, which means a new convert, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So even a brother who has a family, children that seem to be faithful, cannot be an elder. Young people, I want you to understand that even the qualifications of an elder must be watched so that when they're a new convert, when they just come in, they can't, because it may go to the head. That even so that assumes that somebody who's been in the church for years must understand that they cannot be lifted up in pride, lest they fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Pride has no place even in the church. Pride has no place in society. Pride has no place in the home. And young people today, I want you to understand that that Jesus humbled himself, even being in the form of God. I want you to look at this real quick before we end the sermon. Appreciate y'all buying that clock. Now, before we get there, I want y'all to look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 3. The scripture says, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself sober judgment in accordance to the faith God has distributed each one of you. That means don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. We already talked about pride. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. That means there's that word ought. It translates that there's an absolute. You have to think of yourself as something. That means you have to fight low self-esteem. That says don't think of yourself more highly than you are. There is a level that you must think of yourself, young people. You're not dirt. You're not trash. Do not become suicidal. God has made you somebody. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're good-looking men, good-looking women. God has blessed you so well. You need to... I don't care how bad it gets. You may fail the test. God does not want you to think of yourself lowly. Don't base your life or your success on what your grades are. Do your best. But when you fail, you can still make it. There's a level that you ought to think. That means even when I'm low, even when things seem down, I may have messed up. Mom is so mad at me. Dad is so mad at me. Even when you want to run away from home, or if you have, you come back. There's a level that you must think of yourself. You cannot go down to the ground. You must, the scripture says, think of yourself soberly. That means you're not intoxicated with your current success or how bad you've done. There have been some times that you feel so bad that you wanted to end your life. She broke up with me. He broke up with me. I failed. I don't know what to do. Do not, you cannot go down to the ground and think of yourself to want to end your life. Or that you are nothing. There's some people who've been living their entire life that they're so down on themselves their whole time. And they're critical. The way you can tell is that they're critical about everybody else. They're so unhappy. But there's a level that you must think that you ought to think. And that is in the middle, that God has blessed me. I know who I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And so therefore, I'm not going to think of myself highly, but I'm not going to think of myself as trash. I am not trash. I'm not a second-class citizen. God has made me to be beautiful. So how am I supposed to think? The scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So here it is. I want y'all to see. He was in the form of God, but thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means it's not something that he wanted to take advantage of. That means he's a billionaire, young people, but he gave up his wealth to be with the homeless. He gave up everything. He is in the form of God. Now here it is. Satan being up there, he wanted to be like God. He wanted to raise himself, but Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, and he humbled himself even to death, even the death of the cross, the way you are lifted up is by humbling yourself. If you want to go high in this life, you have to humble yourself. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're going to have to resist the temptation to think that I'm all that. You're going to have to resist the temptation. You have to humble yourself. The scripture says, humble yourself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. What does James chapter 4, verse 6 say? It's verse 10. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We sing that all the time in Bible hour. I want y'all to understand the way to get high is to go low. But if you want to go, if you want to hit the rock bottom, try to go high. You have to humble yourself. You ask for the job. You don't tell them, hey, man, y'all give me this job for I don't want it no more. I remember one time I used to go to track meets, and I tried that one time. I saw Will Smith do it. I told this girl, I said, hey, man, girl, write your number down for I don't want it no more. Needless to say, I didn't get that number. You're gonna have to be a little bit more smooth than that. But some of us think of ourselves so highly that we want to assert ourselves. But if you wanna go high, you have to go low. You have to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Now I want y'all, if you're gonna be good fruit for the Lord, you're gonna have to express love. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering. That word love there is agape love. It's an unconditional love. It's not a phileo love like a brotherly love, which is great, but it's not eros like you would have for your boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife. But it's an agape love. It's an unconditional love. Now, pride will set in and say, no, you're going to have to love me first. Pride will destroy a marriage. Pride will destroy friendships. Pride will say, I'm not apologizing, but love will apologize. Pride will say, I'm not going to forgive you, but love, humble love will forgive. Love helps out with the dishes. Love cooks. Love washes the clothes. Love does some things around the house. And see, you see mom struggling with that? Go help her out. That's what love does. A humble person, nah, she got it. A proud person, you can't get them to do anything. But a fruit of the Spirit is going to be love. Another one is long-suffering. You're going to have to be patient. Pride says, I'm not going to wait on nobody. Mama, you're taking too long. But humility will wait. Humility will wait for as long as it takes. If you're going to have fruit of the Spirit, young people, you're going to have to humble yourself. Now, here it is. We're talking about Jesus. My time is up. But I got two expressions I want y'all to know. In Greek mythology, you probably haven't heard of, but it's Didymus and Icarus. Didymus and Icarus in Greek mythology. Didymus was at this point in prison in Crete, and he and his son were at the highest point in Crete, and they were in prison for the rest of their lives. But Didymus was a crafty maker, and he said, I'm going to find a way for us to get out of prison. What he did is he constructed wings out of wax from the candles. And he put the wings on he and his son. He gave his son specific instructions. He says, Icarus, if you fly too low to the ground, if you fly too close to the water, the wings will become heavy and you will fall to your death in the water. But if you fly too high close to the sun, then the wings will melt. The wax will melt and you will fall to your death. With those clear instructions, they both flew out. Didymus is flying at the rate that he told him, right in the middle. But Icarus, in Greek mythology, the only ones that can fly were gods. And so being intoxicated with flight, he's flying, and he kept going higher and higher. And Didymus can only watch helplessly as his son, Icarus, kept flying higher and higher close to the sun. And what do you think happened when he got too high? The wings melted, and he fell. And you've heard the saying, he flew too close to the sun. Young people, you can fly too high and get too close to the sun in pride and be destroyed, and it'll ruin your whole life. You didn't listen to mama and you got pregnant. You didn't listen to daddy and you end up in jail. You're with the wrong crowd. You're doing things you're not supposed to. If you fly in the middle, as Didymus had told his son to do, he would have survived. He would have lived. I want you to understand, young people, in order to succeed in this life, you're going to have to humble yourself. When I'm in Bible class, there's nothing else more important than listening to the Word of God. When I'm at school, I need to study. I don't care how good he looks or how good she looks. I'm going to know that Mama told me to live a life of purity, and I'm going to obey her. I'm going to do what is right. Now, I'm going to humble myself to listen to wise counsel. When you're proud, you don't hear anybody. You don't want to hear anybody. Here's a test. I wish she would hurry up. When you have that mindset, you're too proud. You're not even ready for the conversation. I want you to humble yourself before God, young people. That's my lesson this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Now, for the young people, I want y'all to know Brother Raj is the, all right?
Oh.
Okay, I got something for the little ones now, okay? Just hold on for a second. Now, if you don't know, I'm the biggest kid in the youth group. Okay, so the kids, they know who Thanos is. I want y'all to know that Jesus is more powerful than Thanos. If you're older, I understand you don't know, but if y'all remember when JR got shot in 1980? Okay, this is as equal as that. It was the mystery. Who shot JR? They don't know nothing about that. So y'all don't know nothing about this. Okay, now, I want y'all to know Jesus' first miracle was time. Remember when he turned the water into wine? It takes 5 to 10 years to get wine, and then for it to be quality, 15. So he did an instant what would take an instant. That's time. Okay? Power. Remember when the lady was sick? She had been bleeding for 12 years. What did the scripture say when she touched the hem of his garment?
Yep, healed.
The power had left him. He had the power. What about the reality stone? When he fed the 5,000 with two fish and 5 loaves of bread,
yep,
he changed reality. Okay? What about the mind stone? Every time they tried to trap Jesus, he knew what they were thinking.
Mm.
The mind stone. And what about the soul stone? The scripture says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yeah.
He that believeth not shall be damned. He will save your soul. I want you to understand, young folk, Jesus is more powerful than Thanos. And if he can humble himself, even to the point of death, where does that put the rest of us?
Wow.
Okay, now some of us, the Avengers Infinity War movie is going to conclude the end game next month. If you don't know what's going on, go watch Infinity Wars. Because y'all understand it. So I just lost a whole crowd with this right here. But the young people know what I'm saying. Jesus is more powerful than Thanos. Thanos killed half of mankind with one snap with the hand. What I'm saying to you young people, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and God will save your soul. If you stand still to the invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.